Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Memorial Day Deliverance Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, May the 24th, 2014. Jeremy Gee is the speaker of this service, teaching on Entering God's Rest by Conquering Giants. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Are you going to be explosive and somebody push a button and you go, you go berserk? Those are areas where you turn to a false god instead of the true living God. So next time you get your button pushed, say, okay, Lord, tell me what this wound is, and repent, forgive, ask God to forgive you for letting the sun go down on your anger, and he'll heal that area, and then the next time, it won't even bother you. So let a button pusher be a warning that, hey, there's something that you've got to deal with. You know you're not possessing your land when you're a grumbler and a complainer. Now, I never saw myself as a complainer until last week. And I was listening to a tape Monty Lowe sent me on the spirit of complaining. And I started listening to that, and I thought, dear Lord, you have been a complainer. There's nothing we should ever complain about. And I've been catching myself when there's a temptation to say, hey, that's complaining. God doesn't want us to complain. Because if he's in charge of our life and we complain, we're really complaining about him. You know you're not possessing the land when you're discontented. God says godliness is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. You know you're not possessing the land when you're getting bitter instead of better. You see, when you get bitter, you're getting formed in the image of a beast. Because another word for Satan in Revelation is, I saw him fallen when he was like wormwood, which is bitterness. I saw him fallen from heaven. I don't know what scripture is. I think it's in Revelation 9. But it was wormwood. Bitter. You know, in the Song of Solomon, the king says to the bride, your lips, my darling, are sweet. And see, the harlot is bitter. She wipes her mouth and says, I've done nothing wrong. We'll never take accountability. And when I say she, the harlot can be a he or a she, because we're going to be the bride of Christ. And when we commit, when we're going to be the bride of Christ and our hearts go after other lovers, we commit spiritual adultery. And like Meryl said, all America is becoming like Babylon, the whore. And the church, instead of being a pure bride, looks like Fredericks of Hollywood. Dear God, without holiness, no man's going to see God. I don't care how many times you pray a prayer and receive Jesus. Without holiness, or without sanctification, which in New American Standards is sanctification, or which is working out your salvation with fear and trembling, without holiness, no man's going to see God. And most church members, because they're believers, and they're not dealing with their sin, they're not letting God discipline them, they won't take accountability for their sin, they're not receiving God's discipline, and he says they're bastards. But the disciples are disciplined ones that God disciplines. He wants to discipline us because he loves us. He wants to correct those areas, those problem areas, because he loves us. Praise God. I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful for his correction. I'm always so glad when he shows me something else, because that means I'm going to be better tomorrow. And I'm constantly changing, and I'm going to change more tomorrow, and the next day I'm going to change some more, and the next day I'm going to change some more, and I'm not going to be the mean old lady that I have been in the past. I'll be a young lady, right? When I kept silent about my sin, the Bible says my body wasted away. You see physical problems? I know I'm not possessing the land when I'm overcome instead of overcoming. How can, you know, I like what Nikki said. He said, overcomers overcome. And the promises of God are to the overcomer. If you have never had a problem, how could you be an overcomer? You have to have a problem to be an overcomer, right? Amen. We need to have God's perspective concerning our problems. We know we're not possessing the land when we live in a state of unrest, fretting, stewing. We know we're not possessing our land when we're ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Wanting our ears tickled. We accumulate for ourselves teachers in accordance to our own desire. That can be the root to ears that tickle. Your problems. You know you're not possessing your land when you don't love the truth. It says in Thessalonians that if we don't love the truth, we're sent a strong delusion so that we cannot be saved. Oh God, give us a love of the truth. Give us a love for your word. Give us a hunger for your word. I want a hunger for your word more than I have, God. We know we're not possessing our land when we're walking in pride and arrogance and boastfulness. We know we're not possessing our land when we live in depression and defeat and failure. You can't fail in Christ Jesus. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. When you're weak, then you're strong. His strength is made perfect in your weakness, not your strength. You know you're not possessing your land when you're holding on to your life. You know you're not possessing your land when you love the world more than you love God. Or when you love your shekah more than you love God. You know you're not possessing your land when you are fainting, giving up, quitting, wanting to bail out. And you know you're not possessing the land when you have a form of godliness. When you're living with addictions, God wants to break those addictions. And they're hard to break. It's taken me years to break some things. But you know what? God saw my heart. He knew that I was wanting with all my heart to do that. And every time we overcome in any given area, we rest in that area. And we have God's peace. And so what is God's rest and how do you enter into it? It means to put to rest, to make quiet, to grant rest, to lead to a quiet abode. And that could be that table that Kyle was talking about this morning. A table that God prepares for us that protects us from our enemies. God says, if your ways please me, it makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. But that's a good marriage verse that I never paid attention to when I was married. But if I was married again, only if God told me to. If I was married again, I remember that. If your ways please the Lord, it makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. So who's not at peace with you? Who are you not at peace with? There's something about your life that God's not pleased with. And sometimes we think it's the other person and it's really us. As God showed me a couple weeks ago. The person that's been a difficult person in my life, the Lord was showing me. I mean, I was repentant of everything I knew to repent of, but the Lord showed me a whole bunch of mother issues that I needed to forgive my mother for because this person was just exactly like my mother. And now I'll look at this person through different eyes. From now on, I'll look at her as a mirror of what I forgot to forgive my mother for. It takes on a whole new perspective. And so, those were things that God wasn't pleased about, that He wanted to reveal hidden things that even though I thought I had dealt with, I hadn't. He showed me some more. And I had a good mother. I'm thankful for mother. She was a nurturing mother. And I blessed my mother. You know, the last thing I said to my mother, I was fussing at her because she enabled my little sister. And she said, I don't need you chewing my I said, Mother, I'm sorry. I said, I just love you. And I just want to help. And she said, I love you too, my dear. Those were the last words that she spoke to me. I love you too, my dear. And I miss my mother. And so, God's rest is a constant, willful choice of leaning on the person of God and depending upon Him and His promises. God's rest is that place of peace and confidence and perfect trust in God's character and that His promises and provision are true. It's considering not what I'm seeing, but trusting the promises. Entering God's rest is to abide in the vine. It says in John 15, if you abide in me, you'll produce much fruit. And every branch that produces fruit, I'm going to prune. And we're getting pruned. It's good. Because He prunes you because He wants you to produce fruit. And when He don't prune you, it's a sign of God's judgment on your life. When He doesn't discipline you. It means to cast all your care upon the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7. It means to wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount with the wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. To enter God's rest means to believe He has a plan and He's ordered your steps. God says, I know the plans I have for you. They're for good and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. Lay down your plans. They may be good. As Kyle said earlier, he had lots of plans. And he realizes we have to lay down all of our plans to choose God's plan. Because His plan is perfect. I'm thankful that God has finally, after many, many years, brought me to the place I don't want my will anymore. I want to only glorify God. You know, that's a good prayer to pray for people. God be glorified. That's all I want. That covers everything. It covers any request you might have for another person. God, all I ask is just be glorified. God says if you wait for the Lord, you won't be disappointed. It means to believe His character and His ways are perfect, not like our failures of our mothers and fathers and their human frailties. To enter God's rest means to die to all independent living, give up your life that you might find it. As a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone, but if it dies, it produces much fruit. Abiding in Christ, entering God's rest, means to know that it all depends on Him and not me. He who's begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus. It's to know that it is a work of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith and not that of yourselves. It's the gift of God, lest anyone would boast. To enter God's rest means to know that He is the resting place. Remember the scripture Kyle read this morning about the disciples. They inclined themselves at His table. The table that He prepares in the presence of our enemies. It means to come out of all the places that have been a false refuge. There's so many things that we found refuge in. Caffeine was one that I found refuge in. And I'm not preaching against caffeine. But that was a stronghold in my life. An addiction. A recent addiction I got delivered from last Christmas. Have had no desire for caffeine. Which is a miracle. I quit that before, but I never promised God I'd never drink it again. This time I said, God, I'll never drink it again. And I meant it. And I've had no temptation. And I'm telling you, I've been healed of 5 different physical problems. If you, it's a real eye-opener. If you go on the internet and Google the negative effects of caffeine on the endocrine system, everything it said was symptoms I've had for 50 years. And they all left when I quit the caffeine. I'm thankful. I don't get as tired as I did when I drink caffeine. What it does is it gives you a spurt of energy and then it drops you. And it keeps you in a fight or flight situation. But just Google that for yourself, and if you're an addict like I was, then it'll help you. It means to come out of all the places that have been a false refuge. Sugar, food. Some of you have looked to food to be your comfort. You've looked to sex to be your comfort. You've looked to money to be your comfort. Whatever you comforted yourself with. To enter God's rest means to know that you have done what the Lord has told you to do. When you do that, there's tremendous rest that comes. To hold fast to your confession, and this is what Carla taught this afternoon. To hold fast to your confession, Jesus is the high priest of your confession, and to enter his rest means to walk in the Spirit, and that takes a continuous dying to your flesh. Something that we have to do daily, many times. There's two types of people that have a hard time resting. There's a parental inverted, that's the person that grows up having to be the mom and daddy. Some of you have had people in your family that, or maybe you're that person that you had to grow up. You had to take care of your brothers and your sisters, and you had to take care of your mother and daddy because something was amiss with them. They weren't capable of doing it, or they were sick, or whatever, or they weren't there, or they abandoned you, or whatever. But you had to be the mama, and you had to be the daddy. Or you had to be the watchdog. Sometimes a little child, because mother and daddy are so messed up, a little child feels like they have to stay awake at night to protect their brothers and sisters, and that opens them up, that vow, stay awake and I'll protect, opens them up to not being able to sleep at night. Always having to be the rescuer of the family. So a person that's parental inverted is a person that grows up having to be the mom and dad. They have a hard time resting because they had to take on responsibilities because mother and daddy were unable to function, and for some reason they took the government on their shoulders. And the government belongs on Christ's shoulders. It says that the government was on his shoulders. And so for us to get delivered, we have to lay down this mentality that we have to take care of everybody and take the government off our shoulders and put it on Jesus where it belongs. Another type of person that has a hard time resting is a person that's performance-oriented. And I used to have I have an illustration, but we don't have a PowerPoint, but it was like a circle. And a person is performance-oriented, and they're trying to do it themselves. They try to get up here, and those voices, this isn't working. They take a nosedive, go in their black hole, and do their addiction, whatever that is. And then a little boy says, you need to try again. So they try, and it's just like a cycle of trying, taking nosedives, going into the black hole, doing your addiction, and then the voice says, try again. And we're doing this in the flesh. God says he's the potter and you're the clay. He wants you on the potter's wheel. That's a picture of coming under the yoke of Jesus, yielding to him. There are serious consequences of not entering God's rest. Proverbs 14 says, passion rottens the bones. Before it says that, it says a tranquil heart is life to the body, but passion, anger, rivalry, striving, fretting, rotten the bones, envy. And the lack of rest, which is stress, has a destructive effect on the bones. The bones and the spirit of man and God have a special direct relation. There's almost, I'm going to read this, almost something most precious and important spiritually and physically about the bones, more so perhaps than any other part of the body, because bones especially are significant. Bones immediately and directly register sin and righteousness in terms of sickness and wholeness, dryness and moistness. Sin sometimes results in broken bones. Confession, repentance, and the favor of the Lord rest in refreshment to the bones. God's people took special care to provide for man's bones even after death. And in the case of Joseph, how they moved Joseph's bones from Egypt and he wanted his bones buried in the promised land. I told Kyle one day, now I had a dog named Buddy. And I told Kyle one day, I said, Kyle, I do not want to be buried in a cemetery. I want to be buried right out there in that clearing on this land. He said, well, Mom, I'd be afraid something dig you up and say, Buddy, what you got in your mouth? But after dealing with people that came out of Satanism and what they do in graveyards, I don't want to be in a graveyard. I prefer to be on my land. I don't want something to dig me up, though. And so, this, I'm going to read this from the Reader's Digest. Bones are the source of vital constituents of the blood. They are the storehouse from which the calcium and blood plasma is obtained. The pores and cavities are filled with red marrow, and marrow consists largely of blood corpuscles in all stages of development. About 5 million mature red blood cells are produced and released every second. The blood platelets clot formation and the white cells, which protect the body against infection, are also formed in the red marrow. The shafts of the bones of the arms and legs are hollow and filled with yellow marrow and a fatty substance which function is not known. Well, that's the left out part of it. But anyway, what does it say about arthritis, bursitis, leukemia, tendonitis, ability to rebuild body strength through the blood, the relation of blood, bones, and health, the effects in utero of rejection, attempts at abortion, quarrels between parents, violence, and what about the blood of Christ in healing? The practicality of the Bible as a guideline for wholeness, the relation of our spirit to our soma, Jesus Christ as Lord of the body, his temple. And so, we have to come into rest in every area of our life. Wherever you're not resting is not acceptable in the eyes of the Lord. It's a command that we enter his rest. It's a curse because we've got to take on his yoke. And if we don't have his yoke, we're in rebellion. Noah means rest. Did you know that, Noah? Did your word, your name means rest? Genesis 5:29. Now he called his name Noah, saying, "This one shall give us rest from our work and from the toil of our hands arising from the ground which the Lord has cursed." And then the Ten Commandments tells us that we're to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. And I don't understand everything about the Sabbath. I don't know if it's a special day, but I'm thinking it's a 24/7 resting as we're dying to our flesh. And I've asked the Lord to show me all that means, but I believe there is a day that we should take off and rest. And we're kept from rest because of ignorance of God's word, rebellion, and unbelief. When we're in his presence, there is a promise of rest. Exodus 33:14. He said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest," when you're in his presence. For us to be in his presence, we have to humble ourselves. Leviticus 16:31. "It is the Sabbath of a solemn rest for you, that you may humble your soul. It is a permanent statute." In other words, it continues. When we exercise his rest, when we experience his rest in his presence, our enemies are unable to stand before us. Joshua 21:44. That's encouraging in the days we're living in, with all the threats of the one world order and what's coming down on America. The Bible says the wicked bow down at the gates of the righteous. And if I'm walking under God's shadow, like Peter, like his shadow healed. I always thought that was Peter's shadow that healed, but it was God overshadowing Peter. If God is overshadowing you through you walking in repentance and the fear of the Lord in his hand, on his bosom, he's the potter and you're the clay, how dare anyone try to touch you when you're in God's hand? Or when you're resting on his bosom, how dare anybody think they're going to get to you? If he's overshadowing you, that means wherever I go, he changes the atmosphere wherever I am. Hallelujah. That's encouraging. If my ways please the Lord, it makes even my enemies to be at peace with me. I know God's pleased with me in Psalms 41:11, when my enemies do not shout triumph over me. Let me tell you something. The devil is afraid of believers that know their authority. He is. But fear, if we live in fear, the enemy knows that. And that's why the news media keeps on propagating fear, fear, fear. They're going to do this, they're going to do that. Here come the Muslims. Blah, 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 blah. To put fear on the people. And Americans are hysterical. God's saints are in fear. You see, the enemy knows that he can get you in fear. He gets you out of your position of authority, and he's got you. That's the only way he can get you, is to make you afraid. And we're commanded to rest in the Lord. Psalm 37:7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him that prospers in their way, his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Unrest is a work of the flesh. Ecclesiastes 2:21 and 24. Because all his days, his task is painful and grievous, even at night, his mind does not rest. This too is vanity. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I believe there's some more there we need to read. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 21. Well, let me back up. So, go to 17. So I hated life for the work which had been done under the sun was grievous to me because everything is futility and striving after the wind. Thus I hated all the fruit of my labor, for which I had labored under the sun, for I must leave it to the one who will come after me, and who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool. Yet he will have control over all the fruit of my labor, for which I have labored by acting wise under the sun. This too is vanity. Therefore I completely despaired of all the fruit of my labor for which I had labored under the sun. There's one place that says that when we're not striving after the wind, and I don't know where it is, it's in Ecclesiastes, but it says that if we're doing what God wants, he keeps us occupied with gladness of heart. And so if our labor is grievous, there's something amiss, because he wants to keep us occupied with gladness of heart. Maybe I can find that scripture. Well, it's in Ecclesiastes 2 or 3. You can read the whole thing for yourself. I know my little mother probably slept 3 hours a night because she was such a businesswoman. She was always working and hardly slept. And so God wants us to let go. It's kind of the difference between, you know, if a person don't know how to swim and they fall in the water, they'll beat the water and drown. But all they have to do is lay back and they'll float. And see, when we're abiding in Christ, we're floating instead of beating the water, paddling along. God's purpose is to take the government off our shoulders. Isaiah 9:6, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given, and the government will be rest on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Those who are rebellious, miss it. Isaiah 28:12. He who said to them, here is a great rest, give rest to the weary, and here's repose, but they would not listen. And that's in Isaiah 28:12. Just read that and see the repercussions of the judgment if we refuse God's rest. God tells us what salvation is. Isaiah 30, verse 15. For thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, and Andrew read this morning, has said, in repentance and rest you shall be saved, in quietness in your trust, your strength, but you were not willing. Read Isaiah 30, 15 and see what happens because you weren't willing. There's judgment. Those who walk in an upright way, enter God's rest, and God gives them peaceful sleep. Isaiah 57:2. He enters into rest, to peace. They rest in their beds, each one who walks in an upright way. Okay, if you're not walking, if you're not sleeping and resting at night, you haven't walked in an upright way. So begin to ask God, where have I not walked in an upright way? And then deal with it, and then God will give you rest. Let me say this too. If you can't sleep at night, one time in my life I couldn't sleep. And it was when my husband left me for a secretary and I was tormented, and I don't know if you've ever been in that kind of trauma where you're asleep but you're awake. And you wake up and your hair is sweating, your night clothes are wet from sweat. And I told the devil, I said, you wake me up one more time, and I'm going to put my Bible right here on this nightstand, and every time you wake me up, I'm going to read the Bible, and it's going to be profitable to me. And one time he woke me up, I started reading the Bible, never again did he wake me up. If you can't sleep, read the Bible, let it be profitable to you. And the devil don't want you reading the Bible. He'd rather put you to sleep. God knows the way of peace and rest. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the way and see and ask for the ancient path. That's the path, highway of holiness. Where the good way is, and walk in it, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. So if you can't sleep, look up the word rest. And then the remnant experiences rest, but Babylon turmoil. Jeremiah 50, the Redeemer is strong, the Lord of hosts is his name. He will vigorously plead your cause so that he may bring rest to the earth, but turmoil to the inhabitants of Babylon. You know what? It says the beast in Revelation, the beast eats that Babylonian harlot. There's, my friend Bill used to say, there's a marriage supper of the Lamb where you eat with Jesus, but there's a marriage supper, there's another supper where you get ate. There's two tables. There's a table of demons and there's a table of the Lord. God promises us to lead us into rest, and the way he gives us the solution is, come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. In other words, die to your ideas, die to your plans, die to your life. Come at peace, make peace with yourself, and accept, hey, I'm where God wants me because I'm a godly person and my steps are ordered. Amen. Okay, stand up and let's ask the Lord. Please stand up. Lord, I ask for the truth that sets me free. Lord, would you please show me everything that you want me to see, every area where it's a problem. I ask you to give me answers. I ask, Lord, for the truth that makes me free. Search my heart, O God, and test my thoughts, and show me every problem area and how you want to solve that. Thank you, Lord, for deliverance. Thank you for that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you for the truth, Lord, that will set me free. And just deal with whatever the Lord shows you, and then sit down and we'll do for deliverance. Lord, forgive me for disobedience to your voice and your commandments that have caused me to find no rest and no resting place for the sole of my foot, but a trembling heart, failing eyes, and a spirit soul. I ask you to break that curse over me. I'll be scattered among all peoples from the end of the earth. Lord, I gather your children from all the places where they've been scattered. Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive my forefathers for disobedience to your voice and your commandments. Forgive me for wearing my own yoke, which, you know, wearing yokes in the spirit, the yoke of Jesus is a yoke you can't see with the human eye. So you can't see yokes with the human eye, but if I'm wearing my own yoke or somebody else's yoke, or the yoke of iron, or the yoke of pride, the yoke of iron, if I'm wearing somebody else's yoke, that can be the root to neck problems. And I've worn my own yoke more than anybody else's. So Lord, I ask you to forgive me for letting anybody else yoke me. Forgive me for wearing my own yoke. And Lord, I come under your yoke, which is light and easy, and I find rest for my soul. Lord, I call up on your potter's wheel, and I thank you that you're the potter, and forgive me for trying to fix myself. Forgive me for striving, fretting, and stewing in the name of Jesus. Forgive me for not entering your rest. Forgive me for when I hear your voice, I've hardened my heart. God, forgive me for seeing a problem as a problem and not as an opportunity for healing. I ask you to forgive me. Give me your perspective concerning problems. You said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of you, and you give it. So So I ask for wisdom to see my problems from your perspective. And I thank you that you're going to give me wisdom, and if you don't, I'm just going to keep on standing, and you're going to show me when I need to see something. So thank you, Lord. God, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for seeing other people as the problem and not seeing myself. Forgive me for not taking accountability for my sin. Forgive me for hardening my heart when you've been speaking to me. Forgive me for the sins that you've shown me, Lord. God, forgive me for not being willing to deal with my sin. Forgive me for spiritual adultery and spiritual harlotry and physical adultery. God, would you please forgive me for holding unforgiveness toward people, unforgiveness toward myself, unforgiveness toward others. Forgive me for grumbling and complaining. Lord, forgive me for not dealing with my button pushers. Forgive me for not getting the idolatry that has caused that sore place because I didn't turn to you. I turned to an idol and I'm wounded. I didn't know to go to you. I want to go to you now, Lord. And Lord, forgive me for bitterness. Forgive me for not letting my problems conform me into the image of Christ. God, forgive me for living in a state of unrest. Forgive me for seeing myself as unworthy and worthless. Oh God, forgive me for rejecting myself, rejecting my circumstances, rejecting my mate. Lord, forgive me for rejecting my children. Lord, forgive me for being ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Are y'all repenting with me? God, I ask you to forgive me for not loving the truth. Give me a love for the truth. Forgive me for walking in pride and arrogance and insolence and arrogance and rudeness. Forgive me for not honoring my mother and my father. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for loving the world. Forgive me for discontentment. God, forgive me for having a form of godliness and denying the power. Forgive me that you spoke to me over and over and over, and I keep hardening my heart and don't listen. Forgive me for not listening to people that are trying to give me advice, the good advice. God, forgive me for not abiding in the vine. Forgive me for not casting all my care on you. I forgive my dad and mom that I couldn't cast my care on them. I forgive them for abandonment. I forgive them for being selfish and thinking only of their self. I forgive them for being praying with me. I forgive them for provoking me to anger. Forgive me, Lord, for judging them. Forgive me for being anxious for everything. Forgive me for not waiting on you. Forgive me for not believing that you have a plan, and forgive me for not believing you ordered my steps. Forgive me for not believing in your character, that your ways are perfect. Forgive me for seeing you like I've seen my mother and father. Forgive me for being alive to my flesh. Forgive me for thinking it depends on me and not knowing it's a work of grace. God, I ask you to forgive me for thinking it's up to me to teach myself. God, you're my resting place. Father, forgive me for all the things I sought refuge in and comfort, addictions. Lord, forgive me for comforting myself in sex, drugs, alcohol, comforting myself with another human being. Forgive me for not, you are the Holy Spirit that comforts me. Forgive me for seeking comfort in food and addictions. God, forgive me for trusting those things to be my strength, trusting caffeine, trusting drugs, trusting the doctor. God, would you forgive me for not doing what you tell me to do, not holding fast to my confession. I forgive my parents. If I had to take care of them, I forgive them. If I had to take care of brothers and sisters, I forgive them. If I had to be the mama or the daddy, I forgive them. I forgive them for my parents for loving me based on my performance, for their expectations or perfectionism. Forgive me for not having a tranquil heart. Forgive me for passion, anger, rivalry, striving, fretting, stewing, envy that has rotten my bones. Forgive me for the lack of rest. Oh God, I just ask you to forgive me for bitterness that causes arthritis. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me for not setting aside a day just to be with you. God, forgive me for ignorance of your word. God, forgive me for, you want to bring me into rest. And I said, no, forgive me for refusing to humble myself. God, forgive me for, you offer a place of rest. And Lord, I just wouldn't have any part of it. I just rejected it. Forgive me for not resting in you and waiting patiently for you. God, forgive me for fretting because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. God, forgive me for living after the flesh. Forgive me for not having the fear of the Lord. God, would you please forgive me for taking the government on my shoulders? I put it on your shoulders. I take it off my shoulders. Forgive me for rebellion. Lord, forgive me for you said that in repentance and rest I'll be safe, and quietness and trust will be my strength. But I wasn't willing. I ask you to forgive me. Lord, you said there's a... Forgive me for not walking in a righteous way so I can have a peaceful sleep. God, forgive me for not following when you said I know the way of peace and I know the way of rest, but I said I won't walk in it. Forgive me, Lord. God, forgive me for Babylonian ideas, spiritual adultery, spiritual harlotry. God, would you please not forgive me for not letting you lead me into rest, into a peaceful place? And now, Lord, I ask you to break off every yoke that's not your yoke. Every place that I have put a yoke on myself or yoke on others, put a yoke on someone else, I forgive all the people that are trying to control me, to conform me into their image. I want to be conformed into your image. Forgive me for trying to conform myself into my image. God, forgive me that it's been all about me. Now, Lord, I ask you to take off all these yokes. I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut off every yoke that's not the yoke of Jesus. And Lord, I come to you. Pray with me. I come to you. I'm weary and I'm heavy laden. And you said you'll give me rest. I take your yoke upon my neck. And I learn from you, for you are gentle and humble, and I find rest for my soul. For your burden is light and your load is easy. Now I want you to lift your hand. Lord, I receive your yoke. I ask you to drop your yoke from heaven on my neck. I yield to you. I submit to you. I thank you, Lord, that you bring me into rest. Now, all the demons that came in through the things they confessed, they forgive their forefathers. We forgive our forefathers. Forgive us. We forgive ourselves. And I command every demon power of unrest, anxiety, tension, stress, worry, fretting, striving, fretting. I command all spirits of anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness. I come against insomnia, sleeplessness. I come against the spirit of torment that keeps them awake at night. I come against every spirit that hinders them from the truth that sets them free. In the name of Jesus, I come against the root of bitterness. I come against anger, self-hatred, self-bitterness. All spirits that tell them they're unworthy, all lying spirits, all spirits that tell them that they've missed the boat. You get out now in the name of Jesus, loose God's people in the name of Jesus. All spirits of rebellion and antichrist, go. These demons that lie to them, nitpick them, get out, you unloving, ungodly spirits, get out in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. What a mighty God you are. You are awesome. Praise you, Lord. Lift your hands when you feel released and sing with me. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Now, Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. I choose to deny myself and take up my cross and follow you. Jesus said if you're going to come after him, that's the only way you can come, is to deny yourself. And that's why 99% of church members are not saved. Very few people are denying themselves. And I'm one of them. I don't even know the first thing of what it means, but I'm learning. Amen? Bless you, bless you, bless you. Lord, give them a peaceful night's sleep.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBC www.biblescoolonline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.